What's up, Bills Mafia? Welcome to Ending the Drought, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. This is Season 3, Episode 10. I am your host, Jake Thanston, along with Jeff Webster.
Hey, Jake. How do, boy?
Hey, man. I can't complain from the game yesterday, that's for sure.
Recovering?
A little bit, yeah.
What a party.
It was.
What a party.
Yeah, it was a great game, man. I haven't been to a game like that in a while. I mean, if you want to add that playoff game against the Patriots,
yep.
I could say that's in the mix. But just a season opener like that, having the big win against the Rams and then going into this game.
Right.
That was ginormous, crazy, man.
It was.
Yeah.
It was insane. I loved it.
How was it?
I absolutely loved it.
How was it perspective for the TV viewing? Because
yeah,
I was obviously
good.
There. So
it was really, really good.
Sounded loud there,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You could tell that there was some noise happening there.
Yeah.
No doubt. And of course, at some point, we'll address the injury issue the Bills have been recently struck with. And the reason I bring it up is because we're down a man.
Right.
Jason's not with us tonight. He's recovering from a seasonal illness kind of a thing.
And not COVID.
Not COVID.
Just
a seasonal cold,
yep.
Flu, whatever. And hopefully next week we'll be back. All of us together, but in the meantime, yeah, what a phenomenal game, man. I mean, just,
yeah.
How do you do better than that? I don't know. I really don't know.
I mean, if you can't up that a little bit, then, I mean, I'd probably be fine with that because
that's
a great game. I mean, there's, if you want to sit here and be like, okay, you know, there's some things that we can do better. Like, we can do better next time on third down conversions or
short yardage situations,
some stuff like that.
Penalties. They still had like 8 penalties or something, and some of those were pretty ticky tack kind of
There's some
bullshit calls, but
yeah.
They're still there, you know, and you still have to play within the rules that are set by that, you know, referee that game, you know, and you got to understand that. Yeah. Shit happens, but yeah, as far as that's nitpicking. You can't ask for much more than what we got out of these guys this week.
It's great, man.
I mean, they were down a couple of guys. They lost a couple of guys during the game. We were down a couple, lost a couple of guys during the game. Important pieces on both sides, and our team rallied in its depth. I mean, we've talked about it a million times. We have some of the best depth in the NFL.
We really do.
Yeah.
When you're missing Ed Oliver, you know.
Yeah, that's a big piece.
Tim Settle, you know, he's another good piece to miss.
Rotational guy,
yep.
But a solid fucking guy. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to overcome in a lot of games. And the Bills, they had a plan, and they stuck to it. And, like you said, I mean, when you can pull your quarterback with time left in the third quarter because the other team has basically tossed the towel.
Yeah.
You know. That's good. That's good. That's really good.
It is really good.
Not great for your quarterback stat-wise, you know, if you're trying to be NFL MVP. But,
well,
again, everybody to a man on the Buffalo Bills would go, that means shit. Punting, don't care. If we have to punt, we punt. If we don't have to punt, we don't punt. We're not going to fill a record book. We're going to win a Super Bowl. So
that's just it. When your goal is to win a Super Bowl, I mean, at the end of the day, like, I don't. Me personally, I love to see the stats. I love to see Josh throw for 300-400 yards, 3-4 touchdowns, whatever.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, if Josh throws, you know, 170 yards and a touchdown and we win by 3 touchdowns, I can give a shit.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, we're not doing that nail biting shit, right? Where it's like, you know, 5 minutes left to go in the game and the Bills are up by 6 and you don't know if the other team's gonna score and how much time will be left. And yeah, so far this year, you can't ask for much more than, you know, 31-10, a 21-point lead, or, you know, 41-7, where you got a 34-point lead. Like,
yeah,
that's about as good as it's going to get for most games. So, yeah, no complaints.
Yeah.
We can live with the rest of it. They didn't turn the ball over, which is, you know, after last week, turned the ball over 4 times.
They fixed that.
They fixed that problem. They took the ball away. Was it 3 times, I believe? 3 times?
3 times, yep.
Yeah, a couple of fumbles, interception.
Yep.
So, yeah, it was just a team effort. I think Josh Allen said it after the game, like, all 3 phases were complementary. They all, you know, did their part. So, yeah, it was a really good game.
It was really good. And if you look at some individual stats, Jeff, I mean, for instance, if you're looking at Josh Allen, 317 yards on 26 of 38 for 4 touchdowns.
Right.
We didn't have a big run presence against the Titans, which I guess some of us thought we might because of what the Giants did to them. But it just didn't really seem like it needed to be in the game plan as hard because we're throwing the ball and moving it in the air. But Stephon Diggs, again, had another huge game.
Another solid,
14 targets, 12 receptions, 148 yards, and 3 touchdowns. That's huge, man.
Yeah,
I mean, when your number one wide receiver is doing that for you, I mean, that just shows you're clicking on all cylinders early in the season. I mean, week two, and him and Josh look like they're in midseason form already.
Oh, easily. I mean, even going back to last week, same thing. I mean, these guys are clicking. They're clicking, you know, and no Gabe Davis. So, you know, I got to be honest, like I had a lot of confidence that they were going to win and win by a fair amount. But at the same time, you're going, man, no Ed Oliver, no Gabe Davis. That's not great. You know, I mean, it's not a good situation. And then, you know, Dane Jackson goes out and he's an important piece when you're already missing Trey White. You know,
right.
So, yeah, they faced adversity. They stuck to their guns. They had a plan, like I said. Josh Allen even made a couple of bad throws, which, you know, is easy to tolerate when you've got 20-plus unbelievable throws. You really don't even know how it's possible he could do that. Like, some of those throws, again, you know, and not just dinking and dunking, like the throw to Kumaro or Diggs or, you know, it's just crazy. He had a great game, and yeah, how do you complain about a team that's outscoring their opponents? What are we looking at? 72, is it 31 and 41? 72 to 17, right? And this is not, when we talked about this a little bit off of the show, we talked about the fact that they beat the Super Bowl champs in the AFC's number one seed in the first 2 weeks of the season. Like, we looked at this schedule and went, man, they're going to get hammered right out of the gate. Like, they better be on their game. They can't pull a game like they had against Pittsburgh last year, you know, with the L.A. Rams. This is a Super Bowl champs, man. They're going to be ready to play, and they smoked them. And then it's like the Tennessee Titans, who for the last two times we had to go to Tennessee and play them, we walked away empty-handed. So, you know, there's already a thing between Buffalo and Tennessee. It's been there forever, but it's the only team outside of our division we've had to play every year Josh Allen's been in the league. And we won a couple. They won the last two. So it was a big one. It was a big game, you know, and now, boom, flip the script. Looking forward here, Miami pulls this unbelievable pull out a game when they were down a lot, you know, this comeback, this unbelievable comeback. And now week three, you go, wow, this is going to be an important game. So at least out of the gate, we're facing some big games.
Here we are. And I mean, one of the biggest things that we wanted to see out of this game, if we could get a question answered too, is what is this receiving core going to look like if Gabe Davis gets hurt?
Yep.
Or, I mean, even what is this receiving core going to look like if Stephon Diggs got hurt, right?
Right.
So obviously, we went into this game without Gabe Davis, and tons of us fans and analysts and people out there are like, all right, what are they going to look like without Gabe Davis? Are they going to be good? Are they not going to be as good? Like, what's going to happen? And I think number 17 obviously just shows that he's elite, because no matter who he has out there, if it's Gabe, if it's McKenzie, if it's Touchdown Jesus, I mean, he had two good grabs out there.
Yep.
We proved that even without Gabe Davis, and I'm not saying that Gabe Davis isn't huge for this team, because he's ginormous for this team.
For sure.
But if you miss him for a game or two or what have you, these guys have the backups, or, you know, the guys on this roster to come in and be productive and make some plays. And they showed it last night, man. I mean, they're able to do it. It was great to see.
Yeah, and it's like we keep talking about Josh Allen in checking these boxes and all these things on his way to becoming elite, if or better. Like, I don't know what comes above elite.
Yeah.
You know, GOAT, whatever. But on his way to wherever his ceiling lies, he's checking all these boxes. Well, to me, and it just occurred to me after the game, it actually occurred to me today, that the one thing you could always say about Tom Brady, it didn't really matter who his receivers were. He found a way to make it work. Like, to a certain extent, New England, the last few years of Tom Brady's career in New England was almost a revolving door. You know, like Jacoby Myers, he made him into a castaway from the Buffalo Bills. He made him into what looked like a number one receiver. And maybe he's not truly a number one, but Tom Brady had a way of making him look really good.
Right.
And playing within the team that he had to work with. And everybody was praising Bill Belichick for, hey, it doesn't matter. He rotates a piece in, rotates a piece out. Doesn't matter who it is, what name it is, whatever. I'm not sure it was so much Bill Belichick as it was Tom Brady. Just get me a receiver. If the guy's got two hands and can catch a football, I'll make it work. We'll win football games. And I feel like Josh Allen's approaching that if he hasn't actually achieved it. You know, well, I think he may have.
Exactly.
I really do.
I like that analogy, because the thing, when you get an elite quarterback in this league and you look at around the league, guys like Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, you know, just elite quarterbacks that are able to play with. Now, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, he had one of the best receivers, I think, ever in his career.
Yeah.
You know, and Davante Adams, and he ended up leaving. But, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is still going to be a pretty top-notch quarterback.
Yeah, I wouldn't write off the Green Bay Packers yet.
Yeah. But the thing is, I mean, to be an elite quarterback, you still need to have talent at wide receiver. And it helps you so much to have a guy like a Stephon Diggs or a Davante Adams or, you know, guys like that. And Josh reaps the benefits of having a guy like Stephon Diggs. Would Josh have the season or the type of seasons he's had without a Stephon Diggs? Yeah. It's hard to say.
I doubt it.
I
think we still could have won a significant number of games, but
probably
in a different way. We wouldn't be able to rely so heavily on our passing game.
Yep.
We wouldn't have that number one guy who can get the separation.
Mm-hmm.
Because Josh doesn't need a ton of separation. He just needs some separation.
Exactly.
Right? But if you look at Patrick Mahomes, right? Well, Kansas City's done. Tyreek Hill's gone. No, he fucking makes it work with Juju Schuster and, you know, Mecole Hardman and whatever he's got to work with. He makes it work.
Yeah.
And that's what good quarterbacks do.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you can't say enough about this game. They just, in all phases, special teams, you know, they muffed a punt. The Bills were there to jump on it. You know, they muffed a couple punts. They just, one of them they got away with, you know?
So, yeah.
It was just a good all-around game, man. Solid. And our team that was, since the end of last year, basically, they were talking about this team being a contender for a Super Bowl this year. And then Von Miller rolls in, and it's like, oh, yeah, solid contender for a Super Bowl. And the big question is, how are they going to look when they got to face their first couple of weeks when it's the LA Rams, Super Bowl champs, and the Tennessee Titans, number one seed from last year. And they have basically, they've notified the league that, guess what? You know, do you think you're a good team? Well, beat the Bills.
Right.
Then we'll talk about you being a good team. Because until you can, you know, it's where other teams have been. Kansas City, beat Kansas City.
Right.
And then you'll know that you're a solid team. And the Bills did that last year.
They did. And adding Von Miller to the defense,
what a difference, man.
Is like the equivalent of when we added Stephon Diggs to our offense.
Correct.
You know, the Von Miller, from everything I've been reading and hearing these other players, these other defensive linemen saying, is Von Miller brings a completely different attitude to this defensive line. He brings a completely different attitude to the defense in general.
Yep.
There was an article that I just kind of skimmed through earlier today, and it said Von Miller brings out the killers in these guys. You know, these guys want to go for the throat, man. They want to make you lose the game, and they want to make you lose bad. You know, that's
right.
I mean, these guys want it more than I think they've wanted it in the last few years. And having a key piece like that really brings that out, because for some reason, you know, our defense was good. We had the number one defense in the league. But for some reason we had games that we just, you know, we couldn't be that number one defense for right. some reason. And, you know, that 13-second thing happened in KC, and we had just a, I don't know, not a great game against KC in that playoff game.
Not defensively.
No. It just
offensively, fine.
Exactly.
You could win games with 30 points, 34, whatever we had. I don't remember exactly the score, 28. Yeah, you can win games with those points. But yeah, your defense can't play the way they did in that game.
No.
You know, and you just can't.
And for some reason, it's just we just couldn't put it all together.
Right.
You know, for that game. So bringing a guy in like Von Miller, whatever he's able to do for these guys is it's huge.
And he's the first one to say, I'm hoping I'm that last piece.
Yeah.
To get these guys over the hump. Because I plan on playing out 6 years. Like, I plan on being here. This is not one and done kind of a deal.
Right.
It's a real contract, and I plan on, you know, living up to my end of the bargain. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the sky's the limit, and it's proven. And like you say, we talked about a little bit, you can't understate the importance of even a Jordan Phillips. Man, it's like he has come home. He said that. He said, I feel like I'm home. And so far out of the gate, my God, he looks like the guy that – he looks better than the guy that left here with the big contract.
I was just going to say, I think he looks better. He looks more
stronger,
motivated. Everything, man.
He seems faster.
Yeah.
He certainly is as big. He hasn't lost any weight.
No, he's
same, he's a monster, man.
Same size guy, but yeah, he's looking great, dude. And
but in all phases.
All phases,
nobody
yeah.
Nobody can – I mean, it's King Henry. Go ahead. You got the stat. How
right.
many yards did he have?
25 on 13 carries.
Come on.
1.9
yards a carry.
Right.
This is a guy who was 2 years ago led the league in rushing.
Right.
Before an injury.
Well, if you
supposedly
look.
Supposedly he's better. Like, yeah. I mean, whatever.
If you look back at a few games that we played against him, though, like last year,
yeah.
he had one big run on us.
70 some yard run.
But besides that, we were holding him down to, I think, 3.2 yards a carry.
Right. But it's
at that
those
point.
Plays.
You right.
know, looking back to last year, it's plays like that that really can hurt.
That hurt us.
Yeah.
And we didn't have that problem last night.
No.
Or our game one against the Rams either.
No.
So
in the Rams, I know they're not fantastic at running the ball because they have Matt Stafford and they have Cooper Kupp.
Mm-hmm.
But they're NFL running backs, Cam Akers, you know, Henderson. These are pretty good running backs, and we stifled them for the most part. So
we did.
Yeah, I would say the Bills have done more than hold their own through 2 weeks of football.
They have big time.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think now the rust is off. We don't have to worry about coming out of the gate, maybe being a little rusty, or we haven't played a lot in the preseason. You know, maybe that's a problem. And some of the teams that last week I went, well, they're just a little rusty because it's like they're, you know, third or fourth preseason game or whatever, they still aren't looking great. So
yep.
I'm still not convinced there's a lot of good teams in the NFL right now. You know,
I
think Philadelphia looks good.
They did. They
but
did
Green
look
Bay
good.
Green Bay looks pretty shaky. Like
kind of hit and miss, right? From first
Tampa
from week one to week two.
Offense.
Yeah.
Well, they got some injuries to wide receiver, but Tom Brady doesn't look exactly the same anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they just, you know, I mean, right now, the Bills look like the superior team in the NFL, and Tua had a fantastic week last week. 6 touchdowns, 400 and some, I mean, threw 50 times.
I know.
You know, so, but it was Baltimore, and Baltimore had some problems on defense, so
yeah,
it'll be a different game.
I think I definitely think that game was not just Tua being like this elite passing
right.
quarterback. I mean, let's face it, Baltimore... I mean, Peters got burned from Tyreek Hill, the one passing touchdown where I was sitting there watching it, and he's backpedaling, and Tyreek blows by him, and then he turns his hips to try to run with him, and
he's already gone
at that point.
He's got
that's
10
just,
yards on him.
That's just bad defense. That's just bad preparation. Not good. Then the other side of the ball, he got matched up against a rookie corner.
Yep.
Rookie corner thought there was... Apparently, safety top over the help.
Yep.
Tyreek runs right by him, lets him go. No one around him. Touchdown. I mean, so, yes.
That Stephon Diggs turned that guy inside out yesterday on that one touchdown. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
but he beat him. Like, this,
oh, he beat him.
This
clean,
rookie
too.
Corner thought he had safety help. Didn't even turn to run with him. Nothing. Just
nothing.
Let him go by.
Yep.
You know, gave him a little tap and let him go and the touchdown. So, it's just, you know, like if you're playing defense like that, yeah, you're bound to get your ass burned. And
oh yeah,
that's what happened to.
And
to
he was accurate, like he was accurate enough to complete all the plays.
Yeah,
and yeah, I mean they earned the win,
right?
But at the same time, it goes back to week one. And Geno Smith, and in Seattle, they're going, Geno.
Yeah.
Like, holy cow, we found our savior. It's like, dude, it's 1 week.
I know.
Like, you know, there's that old saying when it comes to fantasy football, like, never draft a guy who just had his best season ever. Because it's hard to keep climbing. Like, if you had your best season ever, there's a fair chance next season's going to be less.
Yeah.
Not more. So, Tua just had the best game of his career.
He did.
The odds of him being able to match or beat or even come close to doing that again,
right?
Especially against very likely the best team in the NFL, yeah, probably not.
No.
Probably not going to happen.
I can't see it.
We're transitioning slowly
yeah.
from last night to next week because as opposed to the 11 days we had to wait for Monday Night Football, we have 5 days between these two games. So it's right around the corner.
It is. Speaking of right around the corner, I think it's time for Jeff's Stat of the Week.
Nice.
Bring it in, Jeff.
All right, folks. So listen up. Here's the deal. The winningest coach in Bills history was at the game last night, Mr. Marv Levy, the 97-year young superstar of the pregame last night. Super dude. Fantastic pregame. You were there.
I was.
I got to see some of it in clips. I didn't get to see it live, but in clips today, Marv Levy was fantastic. But, of course, being the winningest coach in Buffalo Bills history, his win percentage is .615. Our current coach, Mr. Sean McDermott, currently has a winning percentage of .614. So what does that tell you? That tells you that if the Buffalo Bills should manage to beat the Miami Dolphins, Sean McDermott's win percentage will be .619. It will make him, at least for that game, the winningest coach in Bills history.
Which is so cool to see because it's been a long time coming.
It's been a long time between good, really solid coaches.
Yeah. I mean, between Marv and right now. And Marv stopped coaching, well, I can't remember, but probably 96?
Yeah, so I was thinking in my mind, I'm thinking 96. But
yeah.
Yeah, long time ago.
Yes,
long
sir.
Long time ago.
Well,
so,
good.
So, yeah, good for him. And, I mean, even if they don't win, chances are they're going to have a fairly successful season. He probably will be the winningest coach at the end of the year this year. And hopefully, God willing, they continue on this path they've started. And every year will be a competitive season. And he'll always have a winning record. And, you know.
You
That'll
said
be fantastic.
You said that McDermott needs another like 90 something wins to pass Levy.
I think this is 83 games at this point. This will be 84 this week, and Marv has 183. So it's like 99 more games.
So basically,
to match the
it's like 100 more wins.
About 100 wins. Well, 100 games to match the quantity of games. He just has to win 6 out of 10.
Yeah,
to maintain this pace, or a little over 6 out of 10 games,
to keep that percentage,
up there.
So
which
I
think the Bills can do that. You know, if they're 10-7, right? That's probably about all you got to do year after year after year since they're 17 games now, and within 6 years he'll have matched the career number of games that Marv had, and hopefully the career number of wins.
Yeah,
and
then
better.
And then after that, that'd be great to see McDermott just go ahead and run away with it and make it extremely tough for any other Buffalo Bills coach to ever catch him.
Yeah, and we've talked about this, that Jim Kelly, Bruce Smith, Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed, they've all been a part of this new team, the Bills in this new era. And part of that is because, of course, they get to live with 4 consecutive championships, AFC, but 4 consecutive Super Bowl losses. So they're getting to possibly see somebody take this community and franchise to a place they couldn't quite reach.
Yeah.
And I think that would probably shake a lot of demons for them if that happens, because then it won't be all about those 4 games. It'll be about a current champion, you know?
Yeah, no, and that's exactly what we all want, right?
I mean, absolutely. And they want it just as much.
I think they want it just as much, too, because not it won't completely erase what happened in the 90s. Yeah. That will never be gone. Right. But I think that we can finally, I guess, put it behind us.
Right.
You know, because you got people out there saying, stop living in the 90s. Stop.
Yeah, you've never won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, like, all you do is, you know, you just live in the 90s and, you know, it's all the Super Bowl teams were so good and this and that, blah, blah, blah. And,
yeah.
And
it's frustrating after a while, for sure.
It is. And it's just like we as fans, we want to grab hold of something that meant something. And we were good then. And right. And it absolutely took so long for us to reach a point where we're a really good team in the NFL again.
Yeah.
And for the drought years, what else did you have to talk about besides, hey, do you remember how good we were in the 90s?
Right.
What else? I mean, what are you going to talk about in the drought season besides,
absolutely,
besides, oh,
mediocrity.
By week 9, it's like, well, we're not making the playoffs. Right. Who do you think?
Over. It's November.
Where do you think we're going to draft this, you know, this next year?
Right.
That's all. That was like the conversation every year. I stopped watching.
Or whatever,
yeah. Yeah. I stopped watching games after, you know, usually week, you know, 9, 10.
Yeah.
You know, I just stopped watching. I'm like, I don't want to watch us lose anymore. I'm sick of
right.
it. You know?
Yep. Clean the whole locker cleaning out and the guys going to play golf and shit like that. It got so old.
Yeah, it was just, so it got old. So old. So, I mean, that's why as Bills fans, we would always sit back and try to reminisce about the 90s because that's all we had at that point.
And why we spend most of our time pinching ourselves now going, wait a minute, you know, Josh Allen is a quarterback in Buffalo.
Right.
Like, at 26 years old, we have a superstar quarterback.
Yeah, wait. We have a quarterback that has the best-selling jersey in the NFL?
Right.
That's
right.
A thing, really? For Buffalo?
Right.
Yeah, so
yeah,
we're all trying to definitely keep that, like a realism in our fan, you know, our fanhood, you know? Like,
absolutely,
like how is this real? But
it is. Yeah,
yeah,
it is, and it's great. It's fantastic, man.
I know.
I always enjoyed the ride. And going back one more time to that Super Bowl era, because I was in my early 30s at that point, it was always a great ride, man. Every game was exciting all year long. And then it's the playoffs, and they're winning in the playoffs. So the ride was fantastic.
Right.
You know what I mean? It just, every year, it just ended the same way.
Yeah.
So, but then you go, well, next year, man, you know, next year. Well, then all of a sudden you ran out of next year's.
Right.
But it was a fun ride. And right now, I mean, this is a blast, dude.
It's, I
like
can't
we
even.
Talked about, we said, well, you have, 55-point differential.
Yeah.
A plus 55, like, is the best in the NFL. And not against the Jets or Detroit or some other team.
Yeah, no.
Like, against two really good teams.
Yep.
So, again, it just makes it that much more fun.
Yeah,
it's
we're
a fantastic ride.
And the guys on WGR, Show Up in the Bulldog, actually brought up a good point about the season last year. They were like, look, last year wasn't like the most epic season because look at the teams we had to play. Like, we played Jacksonville, we lost to them, but then, you know, we beat up Houston at home. You know, we beat up the Washington Commanders. You know, we beat Atlanta, you know, it wasn't like we didn't have any like signature big, you know, the big win that we had was in KC against KC on primetime. It was Sunday or Monday or whatever
but out
it was.
Of a 17 game season.
Mm-hmm.
Like our very first week, if you remember the previous season, Pittsburgh melted down.
Right.
Then they started like 12-0 and then win like one more game or something like that. So
they did.
Going into the opening game, I'm like, this is cakewalk. This is easy.
Right.
You know, you just don't fuck it up.
Yep.
And they fucked it up. You know,
I know.
It's like, oh, that's a great way to start your season, you know? And they fought through it, all that adversity right to the end when they played Kansas City, the 13 seconds, the coin toss, the whole 9 yards. But I think we talked about it. It just added to their resolve to do better this year.
Right.
Like game one, just we got to win game one, and they did. And then it's like Tennessee. We can't go down to Tennessee one more time.
Yep.
You know, we got to win this game. We're at home. We're not on the road. This is a game we got to have. And they went and got it. Now it's Miami. Same thing. This is a game every week they're going to look at, like, every play. This is the one we got to have,
Right? Yeah, yeah. This Miami matchup's big, you know.
It is.
So
huge,
moving. So
man.
let's kind of transition into talking
Sounds
about
good.
This next week against Miami on Sunday at 1 o'clock in Miami.
Yep.
What does this matchup look like? Well, it looks like a good matchup. I mean, if you're looking at statistically, the Bills' offense versus Miami's defense, pretty lopsided.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And you were looking at the stats today, and you were talking to me about, hey, you know, the Bills are, you know, this and on, you know, rushing
yeah.
defense. And I think, do you have those numbers with
yeah,
you?
I got some quick numbers.
Yeah.
So currently, according to, I believe it was NFL.com, but Miami is currently in about 20, and this is defensively, they're 20th in points allowed, 21st in yards allowed, 23rd in passing yards allowed,
mm-hmm.
and they've given up 4 touchdowns. And 17th in rush defense, and they've given up 1 touchdown. So not exactly solid numbers for a team defense, considering they gave up 7 points to New England, which means Baltimore just probably, you know, had their way with them, at least offensively.
They did, yeah.
But the Bills, they've started out, and everybody knows who they played. They're currently 2nd in points allowed, 2nd in yards allowed, 2nd in passing yards allowed, and they've given up 1 passing touchdown. And they are 1st in rush defense, and they've given up also 1 touchdown. So those stats kind of like, it's a pretty heavy weight in the Bills' favor when it comes to defense. And
yeah.
And we've watched their defense now 2 weeks in a row. It looks solid. I mean, it looks rock solid. Even with injuries and things like that, they haven't given up much. Offensively, the Miami Dolphins, thanks to Tua's week last week, again, I think the week one, they might have won like 17-7 against New England.
I think it was.
Something like that.
21-7.
21-7.
Yep.
But it
yep.
was, New England, I don't think, is a very great team, especially offensively. So,
no.
And defensively, I just don't think New England's very good this year. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
so Miami sits offensively 6th in scoring, 1st in passing yards, and 28th in rushing yards, which is kind of surprising. So the Bills, they sit at 1st in scoring. We've scored more points than any other team in the league. Passing yards 4th and rushing 14th.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, you look at those stats, they're not heavily weighted to the Bills. But we talked about what Josh Allen is capable of. And I think if you go head-to-head, quarterback-to-quarterback, you can see I actually put numbers together for Josh Allen's last 4 games. 2 playoff games, 2 plays this year. He currently sits in those 4 games. His passer rating was, and I apologize, 138.7 over the course of the last 4 games.
That's great.
Yeah, it's fantastic. He 16 passing touchdowns and a rushing touchdown in 4 games. So he's got 4 consecutive games with 4-plus total touchdowns, which I don't know statistically where that sits in the league. I don't think it's happened a ton.
No, I don't think so either.
Guys with 4-plus total touchdowns, consecutive games. So
yeah,
Tua, on the other hand, has basically had 1 really, really good game. Like, I don't know how many total touchdowns he had, but he had 6 passing touchdowns
right.
against Baltimore last week. So, again, I feel very good about our quarterback versus their quarterback in a head-to-head matchup.
Yeah. Yeah,
their defense versus our defense head-to-head, same thing. So I'm very optimistic for the upcoming week.
Yes.
And even in Miami, we talked about Josh Allen's record against Miami since he's come into the league, 7-1.
Yeah, in the last
the first game.
Last time he lost was his rookie season.
First
December 2nd,
2018. Yep.
And we actually brought it up earlier today. That's when we're in Miami, 2018, and we had a chance to win the game. Josh was, I don't know, where was he? Maybe right around our 40, 50 maybe. He had a toss a lawn one.
Yeah, it was probably about 40 yards, I bet.
And Charles Clay was in the right corner of the end zone.
Pretty much open.
Josh just slings it, and it drops right to Charles Clay's feet. And we're all like, why didn't he catch that?
Like it was almost like a punt, man. Like, I mean, he got to move
it was
under
weird.
It. He had time.
Yeah, it was weird.
Must have misjudged it or something, but
something odd happened. Yeah, but it wasn't that good. Should have been a catch been to a win catch. The game. So
yeah, I agree.
It's the last 100%. Time we lost 2018, and then like you said, after that. But since 2015, Jeff, the last 14 times we've played Miami, our record is 11-3 since 2015. So
well, and their defense in those years previous to this year, I think, was much better.
Yeah,
I don't think their defense, honestly, is as good as it has been.
No, it's not.
I mean, I think Baltimore and Lamar Jackson kind of exposed that defense. I don't think New England had the strength. Mac Jones, their receiving core, their running backs. I don't think they, or even the offensive line. I don't think they could expose a bad defense because they don't have enough talent there.
Yeah, that's. I think but that Baltimore, definitely shows.
Baltimore, they put up a lot of points on them.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Right, and if Baltimore's doing that, we're gonna do it too because I mean we've already done it the first two games, you know. And if you're comparing Miami's defense to LA or even Tennessee, it's not as good as I don't think they're as good as the Rams.
No,
I really don't. And I mean they may be comparable to Tennessee, probably. You know. In that area?
Very possibly.
You know, I mean, I know Tennessee was missing Kyle Fulton last night.
Right.
They're starting corner. But still, I mean, Xavier Howard hasn't really shown that he's an elite recently. Corner this past couple of years, honestly. Yeah.
No.
You know, if you're going to match him up against Stephon Diggs, good luck, you know? Right.
I mean, the Bills just put up a perfect passer rating against Jalen Ramsey.
Right.
And as anybody will tell you, only because they've told me, for over a week now, he is still an elite cornerback in the NFL. The Bills got the best of him, but he's still a top five minimum cornerback in the NFL.
Right.
And the Bills got the best of him.
They did.
So they're used to playing. And one of the Bills brought this up, too, and it's funny. It just occurred to me. They always talk about that every scrimmage or practice, they go against either the best offense or the best defense in the NFL.
Right.
These guys are playing against elite talent in their own locker room.
Like
they have just strength on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, how much better can you get prepared for a game when you're playing the top tier talent every practice?
Yeah, when it's ones against the ones, man, it's a really, really good defense against a really, really good offense. So
it is.
So no wonder they get into little scraps and stuff. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of ego out there. But, I think the Bills will, again, I think they'll win. I think they'll win by more than a few points.
Yes.
I don't think it's going to be ridiculously close, but I don't think it's going to be quite the point spread that we saw the last couple of weeks. I don't think. But
no, they're at 6 or 6.5 right now, right?
Yeah, 6.5. Yeah.
So 6.5 right now. So Vegas is thinking they're going to win by at least a touchdown.
On the road.
If you're looking at the last two games and you kind of want to use that as a measuring stick, I'd say minimally we should win by at least 10.
Right.
Is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think, you know? And I'm very, very optimistic. I feel really good about the last couple of weeks because I had the Bills winning big both times, and they did win big. And I truly do feel that Miami is a much better club this year than they were last year or even the year before. But I don't think it's way better than last year.
Right.
I think they are where maybe New England was last year, where they're around 10, 11 wins, maybe something like that.
Sure.
Maybe vying for a wild card. But I don't think they're ready to win a Super Bowl. I could be wrong. Was wrong about Cincinnati last year.
Well,
you know what I mean? So I could be wrong, but I think the Bills will be fine
this week. And if you actually, I don't know, I know you didn't write the scores down, but I had 41-14 in this game against Tennessee, and we ended up winning 41-7. So
yeah.
I feel pretty good about
that. Yeah, Tennessee let you down, man. They could have had another score. They fucked it
up. Yeah, they should have had one more score. And I mean, not that it would have got me anything besides saying, hey, I was right on the score,
which you still get.
Yeah,
it was like 35-17 or something like that. So
which is still pretty
still closer than I was. But
yeah,
but whatever. We got to do that again, dude.
Yes, we do.
I don't know if you're ready.
Well, why don't we start off with the players of the game? And then obviously we'll finish off with what our scores predictions will be.
I like it.
So
we'll have to be careful around injuries because we don't know. Like, well, will Micah Hyde be available? Dane Jackson?
Yes.
They
list him as day to day.
Thankfully, he walked out of the hospital that evening. No major injuries. We don't know. I bet he's really, really sore. If you watch that replay, my neck hurt just watching it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that was bad.
Who knows? But Micah Hyde, supposedly a neck injury. We're not sure where that's at.
Right.
Hopefully, at Oliver, Tim Settle will be back. Gabe Davis, it was an ankle. Hopefully, it's like the lower ankle, not a high ankle sprain, kind of a long-term thing.
Yep.
It sounded like it was more of a, you know, almost like a game time call kind of a thing.
Yeah, which means he's, if you give him another 5 days, I'm sure he's going to be good to go.
Okay.
But
so you go first. Where do you want to start? Offense, well, defense?
I'll start with my defensive player of the game this week. And if you're looking at the last 2 weeks, I guess number one against the Rams, it's tough to say who could have been the defensive player of the week for the Rams based on
everybody had a really good game.
It's just like, I mean, Von Miller had a great game. Jordan Phillips had a great game.
Boogie,
you know,
Basham.
Boogie Basham had the, yeah, and then
Greg,
if you,
Rousseau.
Exactly. So it's tough to kind of pinpoint, you know, game one. Game two, in the defense, you probably can give it up to Matt Milano for that pick six.
He had a really good game, dude.
He had a good game, and that pick six was really good,
yeah,
you know?
I agree.
But
I agree.
If you're looking at the defense this week, Miami, they're not going to try to really, I don't think, establish a big run game. And if they do, I feel like the Bills can shut that down.
I think so, too.
So, you know, if I'm looking like, all right, is there someone on the defensive line that I want to look at? Maybe.
I'm thinking line myself.
But if there's somebody in the backfield, right, like a cornerback, you know, who could step up this week and make some plays, I'm gonna go on and say I think Taron Johnson can be the player of the game this week.
He's a big game player, man. He likes to make big plays.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't seen a pick from him yet. I'm not saying like
it's usually
a pick six.
Yeah. It usually is, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying that's definitely gonna be the case, but
right.
I think that he can have a big week. I mean, he's gonna have his hands full with you know, whoever's got to cover, if it's going to be Tyreek or Jalen Waddle,
zone, whatever, it's going to be tough.
Right.
It's going to be, yeah.
He's going to have to help.
Order, dude.
Well, yeah, he's going to have to step up. I mean, who knows if Dane Jackson's going to play. If not, we're going to have either Cam Lewis and Benford back there. So we're going to need a guy that's been here with us for the last 5 years step up and make plays in the defensive backfield. So I'm going Taron Johnson.
I like it. I like it a lot. And, I can help you with that.
Yeah.
Because I think my player of the game, if he plays as well as I think he will, he's going to help these defensive backfield guys a lot.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cheating because he's had a couple of really excellent weeks.
Right.
And I've been crazy impressed. I mentioned his name earlier. I'm going with Jordan Phillips.
Yeah.
Because Tyreek Hill can be had. They did it last year.
Right.
He can be had. And he is susceptible to blindside hits, and he tends to hold onto the ball a little bit longer than he should. Now, especially when you got a couple of downfield guys.
Right.
I mean, if you watch some of the highlights from this past week, he had like 3 and 4 seconds back there. I don't see that happening. Not this week.
No.
So I think Jordan Phillips is going to have a pretty good day.
I like that a lot because we're just talking about him, and I mean, the first two games, he's really shown up to be just a beast inside for us.
Solid defender.
Yeah. Yeah. And you get Ed Oliver back this week next to him. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, the sky's the limit for this defensive line, right?
I agree.
It really is. So that's a great pick.
Yeah. I like yours.
If you move into offense, you know, offense gets tough because you obviously want to try to not pick the, you know, I mean, Stephon Diggs right now is playing elite, you know, so
Absolutely. So
I could easily just pick him out and just pick Stephon
Diggs. Yeah, pretty much week after week after week.
Yeah.
We just wanted to pick, we go Josh Allen, Stephon
Diggs,
just rotate him back.
Yeah. Yeah, but we can't do that.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So last week I took Dawson Knox against Tennessee. He had an okay game, but
yeah,
he didn't show up as big as I thought he would, which is fine. I mean, it is what it is. So this week, depending on if he's back or not, I'm going to go Gabe Davis.
Gabe Davis.
I think that he had a did he have two touchdown catches last year against Miami in Miami? I think,
didn't he have a – was either two touchdown catches and a kick return or a punt for return for a touchdown? Something like that.
Yeah.
I almost think he had three touchdowns that game.
Did he? I think. I'm really – That's why I was like, man, did he have minimally two? I remember
know he had at least two.
I remember he had two touchdown catches that I can think of, but
yeah.
But either way,
he had a really good game.
Either way, he seems like he could be like a Miami Dolphin killer on offense.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And I think he might have a little chip on his shoulder because he had a miss being a part of that 41-7 game against Tennessee.
You know who I'm thinking of? You know? I'm thinking of Isaiah McKenzie that one game when he had that kickoff return.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but you're right. I think Gabe Davis might have had a couple of touchdowns. But, that's a great pick. I mean, last couple of games, right?
Yeah.
That he has played in has been a monster. Like, the playoff game.
I know.
200 yards and four touchdowns.
He's got it in him, man.
Yeah, for sure.
So.
And yeah, like I said, I think Miami can be had.
Yeah.
I'm going a similar route. I think you may have missed by just one game. Because I think Dawson Knox is going to have his breakout game this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think it'll be – I think it'll be a half dozen catches, maybe 60, 70 yards, something like that. I think he could have a couple of scores.
He's due, man.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's what I'm thinking, too.
That's why I thought it was going to be against Tennessee because he was so quiet against L.A.
Right, and you know? I really wonder if their cornerback hadn't been injured,
mm-hmm.
if they would have went to him more – because the coverage would have been better.
Right.
Like maybe Diggs wouldn't have been able to break out if he didn't have a couple of young corners to go up against.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that could be a key to that a little bit too, right, Jeff? I mean, maybe they're not going to Dawson Knox as hard because Stephon Diggs is playing elite right now.
Right.
You know, and maybe that's kind of the reason why they don't look Dawson Knox's way. Or
they don't have to.
Yeah, it's. I mean, again, like Josh is spreading the ball around pretty decent, and
yep.
and if you got Diggs grabbing the ball 10, 12 times a game, like
Josh Allen's talked about it forever, man. Get the ball into the playmaker's hands.
Right.
Right.
And not that Dawson Knox isn't one, but
no, all of them are.
Right.
But as long as you have one of them, if it works, don't why would you mess with it?
Yeah.
Like if he's open, and you know he's going to catch the ball if it gets anywhere near him.
Right.
Yeah, why would you try anything else? Like, until that doesn't work, you know, until they start double-teaming him or something, because they have tried to remove him from games before.
Yeah.
Sometimes with some success.
Correct.
A good example is the last time he played Jalen Ramsey. I think Jalen Ramsey was able to keep him in check pretty good.
Right.
But, yeah, if you don't have to go there, then nobody's looking for it. So the time when you do need him, Dawson Knox can kill you. He can be another, you know, offensive dart that just kills
him. Touchdown machine.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he had 8-plus last year.
Yeah, it was like 9 touchdowns last year.
So, yeah, I like
Bills record. I think the most they ever had before that was 6.
Yep, I like it.
So by 50%. So, yeah, I think there's a real good shot this week. You know, they've got Gesicki, a big, strong tight end, who I think is underutilized, especially now.
Right.
But Dawson Knox, maybe it's just, you know, it hasn't been his time yet.
Yeah,
Irv
I agree.
Smith for Minnesota last night. He didn't do anything week one, but he showed up pretty strong because they needed him to.
That's true.
And it still didn't really work out. I mean, they still lost by a lot, but
I know.
Philadelphia's a good team, dude.
Yeah, we were talking about it earlier. Right now, it looks like Philly could be a strong candidate to come out of the NFC.
I agree. I'm on board with that.
Well, especially with Jalen Hurts. I mean, I liked him, and you know, I watched him in college, and it's not like I thought he was gonna come into the NFL and be like a really successful quarterback. But I knew watching him in college that he had a lot of the traits where he could be a solid,
right. we talked about quarterback. That rawness that if well refined,
yeah,
could be a very good NFL quarterback. And he's ahead of schedule. He just looks good.
Yeah, and he's got the guys around him. You know, they got AJ Brown and stuff now. And if you look at a couple other quarterbacks in the league that are similar to him, like Justin Fields, I think could be an excellent quarterback. It's just unfortunate that right now he just doesn't have the guys around him. I mean,
the offensive line is bad.
Yeah, the offensive line's bad. He doesn't really have a true number one wide receiver. If you put a guy like AJ Brown, you know, with Justin Fields on the Bears, who knows?
Yeah, it's still a better team.
Right.
And that's the problem. That's been the Bears' problem for a decade now since Mitch Trubisky was drafted. They've just never been able to do what the Bills have done. The Bills have been able to put all the pieces, or at least an appropriate amount of pieces with enough talent to be a successful club.
Yeah, yeah, and you get a top-notch quarterback, a guy that you believe in that could do some damage in this league. You got to go out and get a piece for him to be successful.
Yep.
And the Bills obviously did that with Diggs. And, you know, Philly did that going out getting A.J. Brown.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like
Miami's
there's
got Tyreek Hill now and Waddle. And
yeah, so yeah. You have to build those
in L.A. Like, I mean, yeah.
You have to build those pieces around you. And if the Bears can ever build that piece around Justin Fields and then get him some better protection up front, I think he could be a very excellent quarterback. He reminds me of like a modern day Donovan McNabb.
Yeah.
He's a big guy, very strong arm, fairly accurate at times. I mean, he's
mobile.
Very mobile.
Yeah.
And you know, McNabb had mobility, he was accurate, you know, and he was good but he had talent around him too in Philly, you know.
Right.
So you got to do that around the league to these young guys to help him out.
And if you remember when Josh Allen, he wasn't supposed to play first year, but he did.
Yeah.
He got injured, missed four games, whatever. But it was like the Bills started building when he came in. They weren't ready when Josh Allen was drafted. They didn't have it like I think Kansas City.
Right.
They had a team that Pat Mahomes stepped into that was pretty complete. It was really a good team. The Bills weren't like that. The Bills have taken 3-4 years to really put the pieces together. We'll work on this year and then that year. And maybe Chicago can pull something like that where, you know, we got our quarterback. Now we got to start. We look at all the, you know, what he can do, what he can't do. Let's get the guys on the line that are going to help him succeed. And then the receiver, you know,
try to
do a similar, because you got to be thinking by now that a lot of teams in the league, you know, when it comes to building a team, you've got the Rams way last year where you take a couple of elite guys, bring them in on short-term contracts because you're close. You just need that piece or two. So that was an option, and it fucking paid off. Like, it worked for them. They got a Super Bowl. Like, you can't take that away. But where the Bills are going, but you know what? It's going to take us a little longer to get there. But hopefully when we get there, we'll be able to stay there. Maybe not the best club in the NFL every year, but top five, you know, top 10, whatever. We're going to be competitive each and every year. So we get into the playoffs, because once we're in the playoffs, we have a shot.
Right.
And that's all they want to do.
And they got the key pieces when you're looking at the roster. I mean, they got Josh Allen in the draft. They built him up to where he is now. They go out and get Stephon Diggs. So you got two key pieces on offense right there. Then you add a couple guys on your offensive line that are going to be key pieces. You drafted one in Spencer Brown. You drafted one in Deion Dawkins. You got your center in Miss Morse. Now there's some key pieces there. Then you move over to the defensive side of the ball. You got your key safeties, right?
Right.
You drafted Trey White. He's your key, you know, cornerback. And then you go out and make a boom splash and you get the best defensive end in a long time in this league in Von Miller. So now you have key pieces everywhere. And then you're just sprinkling in more key pieces. You know, you draft Rousseau and Basham and you add Oliver. And it's just like, all of a sudden, it's like, holy cow.
Right.
Our roster is loaded now.
Right.
And they just kept
doing
it. And
we don't have to have everybody has to be elite.
Right.
They just have to be really, really good.
Yep.
Like Matt Milano, fifth round guy.
Yeah.
Well, we got to figure out a way to pay him. Figure it out.
Yep.
Figure it out.
And he wanted to be here.
Work it out. Yeah. And he was willing to work with the Bills. Josh Allen probably could have had a bigger contract. He was willing to work with the Bills. Stephon Diggs extension. I'll work with you guys. Like, yeah. like the team is working because they know the end goal and they're not there yet.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody almost to a man is on board with that concept. So yeah, it's been fun.
It's been fun, man. Yeah, well, it looks like we're getting towards that time, but let's do our game picks or our scores here, and then we'll call it a night. But
I'll let you roll.
You want me to go first?
Absolutely.
All right. So this week I'm thinking the Bills are still gonna put up points because I just don't see Miami really coming into this game and shutting anything down
right.
at all. So I'm going Buffalo. I'm going 31-20 Buffalo.
Very nice. Very nice. I think, again, I keep saying I think it's going to be closer, but my brain keeps telling me it's probably not. So I'm thinking the Bills are going to put up 38 points.
Yeah.
You know, I believe they will. I think Josh Allen will have 4 touchdowns again, be it through the air or on the ground or combination of both, whatever. But then I look at Miami and what they've been able to do, and I think they're closer to that New England game than they are the Baltimore game.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to put them at a solid 20 points.
Yeah.
That's it.
38-20, 31-20.
Yeah.
I like it. So you got an extra touchdown.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, they might even get 21 because they go for 8 at some point.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of field goals, a touchdown, right. and they go for 8 or something. But, yeah, I just don't think they're going to be in the same tier.
All right. Now. No, you heard it here, Bills Mafia. Jeff, 38-20. And myself, Jake, I'm going 31-20. So we're pretty close in scores. Close. But either way, we both have the Bills putting the beat down again this week. So everybody, thanks for listening. Check Absolutely. Us out. Anchor.fm, Ending the Drought. Twitter at ETD Buffalo. Instagram, Facebook. Pretty much anywhere you can listen to a podcast. We're going to be on Apple, Spotify, anything like that. So make sure you check us out. And just wanted to end it with, where else would you rather be than right here, right now? Go Bills.
Go Bills.